The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. It is Friday night. It is 6 p.m. Eastern, and it is the 28th of February. We want to welcome all of our Facebook Live audience. As you guys are jumping on here again, if this is your first time joining us, please let me know below by saying hi or first time or however you may want to do that to so that we can acknowledge that you're coming in here into the broadcast for the first time. Also, we want to welcome our podcasters and our YouTube audience as well. Tonight, I want to be on this Friday night. I want to spend about 30 minutes and I want to talk about a particular subject that's picking up steam. And I have personally noticed this since the beginning of the year. I want to talk about the push for a third temple in Jerusalem and how it's gaining momentum. Again, the push for a third temple in Jerusalem is gaining momentum. If you've got a Bible, you can follow along with me. If not, you could just listen. I'm going to be talking about Revelation chapter 11. Many have asked me, where is the reference for this? Most scholars that teach and believe that there'll be a construction of a third temple in Jerusalem, they will go ultimately to this chapter of Revelation chapter 11. And I will say this up front. I do know that many will try to say that this temple in Jerusalem, that it this reference of this third temple is not a physical temple, but a heavenly temple. But I want to show you tonight, first of all, that that's not true. Second of all, many will say, well, we are the temple, therefore this is not going to happen. Well, listen, there's a literal temple, and then there is the temple, which is your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit mentioned in the book of Corinthians. All right, so the problem with this is you get people that get into replacement theology and they begin to, and I don't have time to develop all that of replacement theology, but listen, we the church is not going to replace the Jews mentioned in the Bible or Israel that's mentioned prophetically speaking. Now, as far as the covenant goes, God made a new covenant, not with the circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the heart. And we were grafted in and became the church. Yes, that is true. But the covenants and the promises all the way in Genesis 12, promised to Abraham and his descendants, that is not us. That is to the, that is literally to the Jewish people. And again, that's a whole other, and I could go into Romans 11, but that would be a whole hour just teaching on that itself. But we here at End Time Headlines do not believe or adhere to replacement theology. Now let's go to, again, let's go into this thing about the third temple. I want to read this. This is from John the Revelator, Revelation 11, verse 1 and 2. And then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there, but leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses. By the way, there's a speculation in theology who these two witnesses are. You got a camp over here that says it's Moses and Elijah because of the miracles that they perform and the descriptions that's written here in the book of Revelation. And then you got another camp that believes it's Moses and Enoch. Elijah and Enoch, not Moses, Enoch and Elijah. And the reason why they adhere to that theology is because Elijah and Enoch both did not see physical death. When you study your Bible, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that Enoch walked with God and he was not, and God took him. And then Elijah, of course, he was taken up in a chariot of fire and never saw physical death. So therefore, they say, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, they will say that the two witnesses have to be Elijah and Enoch because they never saw physical death. However, I will say when you read the depictions or the descriptions, rather, of the miracles that are performed by the two witnesses in Revelation 11, it says, that fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. It says they have power to shut up the heavens that no rain falls on the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them into blood and strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Well, of course, when you get in those descriptions, you're describing Elijah. Remember, he called out fire from heaven and licked up the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. And then you had Moses, who was able to turn the water into blood. Now, I can go either way on this. I can see the argument of Elijah and Enoch, but I can see the argument on Elijah and Moses. To me, it don't really matter. People get hung up on this stuff and they will fight you tooth and nail. Well, by gosh, it's Elijah and Enoch. No, it's Elijah and Moses. It doesn't really matter in the end. We just know that there's going to be two witnesses. Because, listen, Moses and Elijah were standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were both having a conversation with Jesus. Now, I don't have a problem with that if it was just Elijah, because Elijah never saw physical death, or if it was Elijah and Enoch having a conversation with Jesus, because neither one of them saw physical death. But the fact that it says Moses and Elijah, Moses had died. Moses was in the presence of God, and he was having a conversation with Jesus. Now, you go chew on that for a little bit. I can go on both sides of this, but my focus tonight is not on who the two witnesses are, and not even really about what they're going to do. Although, I will say this, that many scholars believe that one of the two witnesses, howbeit Elijah, will be instrumental on building the third temple, or the construction of it, or at least overseeing that. Now, again, I told you that this temple is not in heaven. Some say that this temple is not on earth, it's in heaven. Well, if it was in heaven, friend, how could the outer court of it be left out so it be trampled on by the Gentiles? That doesn't even make any sense. Again, you got to read all the scripture. You can't just pull something out of context and just to fit your opinion. So this is not a temple in heaven. This is a future temple. And again, many believe it is a third temple. Now listen, it's not just Christians who believe this, but many of the Jews and even Muslims believe this. And that's what I want to get into tonight. The Bible gives construction and destruction of both the first and second temples. You can read it in your Bible. And the passage that we just read gives credence to a future third temple that will be constructed in the time of the end, and will be put under control for the Gentiles for 42 months, which I believe will be the reason why this is because it will be led up by the Antichrist. Because if you go into Revelation 13, the Antichrist who rises on the scene and he will work with the false prophet, guess where their headquarters is stationed? You guessed it. In the temple. Many in Israel not only believe that there will be a third temple in Jerusalem in the near future, but they have been preparing for it for years. Okay? According to the Jewish Voice, the passage of Jeremiah 33:14-18, I'm not going to read all this for sake of time. You can read that on your own account. But nevertheless, they believe this scripture speaks of a messianic age when all Israel will be saved and restored to the land of Israel. At that time, a righteous descendant of David, the Messiah, will sit on the throne in Jerusalem, and the temple will again stand complete with its Levitical priesthood. Now, on our last segment, I talked about there's going to come in the last days. And if you haven't seen this, you need to go back on our podcast or back on our YouTube channel or go through our archives on Facebook Live. And I talked about the rise of the Messiah mania. And I talked about there will be, on the last days, there will be the rise of two Messiahs. One will come up from within men or among men, and the other will come down from heaven. The true Messiah will come out of heaven. The false Messiah will be raised up among men. Now, I believe that this false Messiah comes on the scene first before the second true Messiah comes on the scene. And I base that all out of the book of Thessalonians. All right, because when the true Messiah comes, he destroys this false Messiah, which your Bible calls the Antichrist, with the brightness of his coming. So, again, you got to understand that the majority of Israel is not messianic. They are not born again. They are not born. They are not saved. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of David. Now, because that, if they teach and believe that Jesus is not the Son of God, according to your Bible in 1st and 2nd John, read it in your Bible, who is Antichrist but he who denies that Jesus is the Son of God? Now I want to show you something here. It says they are Antichrist. John didn't say they are the Antichrist. He's telling you the spirit of Antichrist is going to be propagated and believed and adhered to and taught by those who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So it doesn't take you long to figure out that we always attribute this to the Muslims, because Muslims don't believe, according to the Hadith and the Quran, they believe that Allah, they call him Allah. Allah has no son. It's written in the Hadith and the Quran. It's even written in Mecca in Saudi Arabia, where they march around when they do the Hajj or whatever it's called once a year, and they go in there where the black stone is, and they march around in that mosque, and inside that mosque it's written there in Arabic that God has no son. So we always attribute that to them, but guys, again, the predominant group, let me slow down, my mouth's trying to get ahead of my mind. The predominant group of Jews in Israel do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So you gotta remember all this, okay? Now, since 1987, the temple movement, and that's what this is called, the temple movement, excuse me, has begun preparations for the rebuilding of this third temple in Israel. And efforts to see this has become a reality only in the 21st century and has been picking up pace. The Orthodox Jews have revived the Sanhedrin. Now you can read about the Sanhedrin in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, which is the religious body that supervised the legal issues and responsibilities related to the temple in the Old Testament, and who attend to see it rebuilt in our lifetime. So the same duties that they had, the same oversight that they had, they call themselves the modern Sanhedrins, the modern Sanhedrin. And they are the ones, they're the majority that's pushing again for the reconstruction of the rebuilding of this third temple. This organization has been ongoing with preparing the Israeli society to accept and promote the rebuilding of the temple through demonstrations at the temple site. The construction of a cornerstone for the third temple and the making of various temple related utensils. Even the very preparation and purpose of the red heifer is being prepared for the third temple, as described in Numbers 19. This service absolutely depends on the presence of water mixed with a red heifer, with the ashes of a red heifer for the third temple. Listen, and in 2018, remember, many of you guys will remember this, the headlines that shook the world of Bible prophecy enthusiasts came to fruition when the news broke in Israel of the reporting that a red heifer had been born in Israel for the first time in 2,000 years. Now, I want you to remember this phrase, the first time in 2,000 years. Can you repeat that with me? The first time in 2,000 years. And you say, why do I got to remember that? Because when I show you the latest article, or the latest report coming out of Israel, it's going to echo this. And this is why this is significant. Since the beginning of 2020, we've seen a further push for this third temple among many in Israel. Dr. Mines, who served in the IDF Intelligence Corps and the Shin Bet Israel's Internal Security Service, also known as the Shabak, or Shabak, how you pronounce that, came out recently and claimed, listen to this, that Donald Trump's recent, quote, deal of the century Mideast peace plan absolutely echoes that of Persian King Cyrus and his decree that paved the way for the Jews to build the second temple almost, you ready for it? Here it is, almost 2,000 years ago. Now keep that in your mind, 2,000 years ago, because that's going to come up again here in a minute. He went on to said that, quote, the Trump statement is the declaration of Cyrus of our days. In other words, what he was saying was this was a prophetic parallel, that when Trump presented this deal of the century, according to this man, he said this is paving the way for the Jews to build the second temple, just like Cyrus 2,000 years ago. Is that not phenomenal, guys? But listen. And then there was the recent story where a Palestinian expert came forward on a live television broadcast where the media was reporting this, that Israel, and he come out with an allegation that Israel is, quote, building the third temple under the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And then there was a recent speech by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, where a rabbi reportedly interrupted Netanyahu's speech to remind him of the importance of building the future third temple in Jerusalem. So here's Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel giving a speech, and this rabbi interrupts his speech to prompt Netanyahu, or to warn him of the importance of building a future third temple in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, 5 years ago, the Sanhedrin in Israel began planting in preparation for the needs of the future third temple that would be built when they planted 30 pomegranate trees. And recently, according to Breaking Israel News, the Sanhedrin began planting trees and vineyards 5 years ago, but until this day, they were unable to utilize the fruits for the first 3 years of their growth. Grapevines or fruit trees planted in Israel are categorized literally as uncircumcised and is prohibited to eat the fruit. However, when the temple stood, the fruit of the fourth year was considered prime or ripe and had to be brought to be eaten in Jerusalem. Fruit that is grown in the fifth year was then permitted to be eaten in a normal manner. This commandment is still observed in Israel to this day, even though there is no temple standing in Jerusalem. This past week, the day after the holiday of my Jewish friends are going to get mad at me. I believe that's how you pronounce that. The fruit from the first trees and grapevines planted by the Sanhedrin will be fit to be used in the temple. So you say, why is this significant? Again, I told you that since 1987, this group called the Modern Sanhedrin have been preparing the utensils. They've been preparing the plants. They've been preparing the ashes of the red heifer. They've been preparing all these things, these sequence of things and events. They're getting everything. Don't miss it. They're getting everything ready. They're getting all their ducks in order. They're getting all the T's crossed, the I's dotted. They're getting everything in order. Even Moses was instructed by the Lord. He was given a specific layout, blueprints, of how the tabernacle of Moses had to be laid out. It had to be so many feet this way and so many feet that way. It had to have certain articles of the furniture. It had to have this, that, this. So this is exactly what they're doing, guys. One thing is for certain, and that it appears, guys, that this ball is rolling. Now, just this week, a couple of days ago, Actually, I believe it was yesterday or the day before we broke this news. Listen to this. Let me give you this headline. Remember I told you to remember for the first time in 2,000 years it came up not once with the ashes of the red, or with the red heifer being born. Not twice did it come up. But now listen to this. This is a headline. Quote, Passover lamb could be sacrificed on the Temple Mount for the first time in 2,000 years. As a result of the deal of the century, Mideast plan, the Sanhedrin has petitioned the Israeli government, filing to receive permits that it will allow priests to carry out the ritual of the Passover sacrifice that will be transported to the Temple Mount and removed immediately after the ceremony. This event would be the first time in 2,000 years. Well, yeah, because the last time a Passover lamb was sacrificed was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who became, he who knew no sin became sin, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, we don't need a earthly lamb to be sacrificed because we had the heavenly lamb that laid down his life. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So it was Jesus Christ who became the Passover lamb. But again, I told you, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. So they're not going to the point of reference of Jesus hanging on the cross and giving himself up as a ransom for many. They're not pointing to that reference. They are pointing even further, and they're pointing back to the temple rituals and the high priest once a year that would go into the Holy of Holies, and they would take a lamb and they would sacrifice that lamb. They take the blood of the lamb and make an atonement for the people, or they would take this lamb. This is exactly what they're referencing. They're referencing an earthly lamb and not the heavenly lamb. According to Breaking Israel News, if the government grants the permissions for this, as it should, based on Israeli and international law, this would be the first time since the destruction of the second temple, there you go, that an altar has stood in proper place of Judaism's holiest site. The report indicated for the past 8 years, the Sanhedrin has been conducting reenactments of the temple service as what they are saying is a means of, quote, here it is, preparing for the actual reinstating of the service. So listen, I want to say this, guys, whether you believe it or not, and you could say, well, I don't believe there's going to be a third temple. Listen, whether you believe it or not, there is a massive group of people out there that are pushing for this. They believe this with all their heart, and they are advancing this. And I believe, listen to me, based on scripture, when you start lining up scripture, I believe what they're doing is setting the stage for the Antichrist. That's my belief. I don't believe they're setting the stage for the Messiah that's going to come out of heaven. I believe they're setting the stage for their Messiah, the false Messiah that's going to rise up among men, who's going to seat his throne in the temple for 42 months and declare himself as God or Messiah. One thing is for sure before we close this broadcast, and that's this. Zechariah the prophet said, behold, in the last days, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. In other words, all the nations, when they laid siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all people. In other words, I'm going to make this simple for you to understand. As we get closer to this thing wrapping up, the center focal point, it's all going to, listen, I know the focal point right now is the coronavirus. I know the central focal point now is the stock market. I know the central focal point is these plagues of locusts. But eventually, things are going to shift, and they're going to shift quickly. And when the main focal point What it may not be next week, it may not be a year from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now, I don't know. But eventually, based on Scripture, the main focal point for all nations will be Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be on the lips of nations. It will be on the lips of the Arabs. It will be on the lips of the Christians. It will be on the lips of the Jews. It will be on the lips of the nations and the peoples of the world, because Zechariah said, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all people. And it will make, they will become drunk with their obsessiveness of this. Because there's going to be wars, and there's going to be factions, and there's going to be a demand from the nations of peace and peace and peace. And then according to the Bible, it says, when they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction come upon them. So guys, this is extraordinary events. This is exciting. This is, again, goes back to Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. That's our main landing page. That's where you're going to find us. If you go there to our main website, you can click on, there's a place right there you can subscribe to push notifications. You can subscribe to one daily digest every single day in your inbox, where you can get the latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. All of you guys on Facebook Live watching this, the link there below, you're going to see, you're going to see two links there. One is for our main website, and the second one below that is for our Android app. And that is on the Google Play Store. Again, I know I've beaten a dead horse with this, but the Apple iOS app is going to come. It's in development, or it's not even in development. We're waiting on Apple, to release it to us. Everything's done on our ends. On our end, we just have to get the green light from them. So it takes them a whole lot longer than it does Android. So, but again, nevertheless, the link right there below, if you'll click on that link right there where it says, the link for the app, if you'll click on that, it'll take you there, and you can download that app on Android, and you can get, again, your push notifications right there. You can follow us right there in the palm of your hand and have all the information there for you. So again, we love you guys in podcast land out there, all you guys on YouTube, all you guys watching by Facebook. We appreciate your prayers, your support, and your partnership of this ministry. Again, without your partnership, without your prayers, and without your support, we would not be able to do what we do. So we love you guys. Listen, God bless you. Have a good and safe weekend. Listen, we are continually decreeing and declaring Psalm 91 over you and your family. We declare that no evil shall befall you, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. Come on, do you believe that tonight? So we're going to sign off for this weekend, and we will be back on here next week with more information like this, more prophetic updates, and then our midweek devotional. We'll do that. You don't want to miss, guys. Listen, I know many of you come on just for the prophetic updates and you miss our devotionals. I'm telling you, our devotionals are powerful. We get the feedback from people, and they will say a lot of them like the devotionals better than the updates. So again, don't miss those updates. Get on there, those devotionals. Get on there, check those out. They're usually on Wednesdays or Thursday nights. Again, you guys on podcasts, we're on YouTube. You guys on YouTube, we're on podcasts. And you guys on Facebook Live, we're in, again, on podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. We're on Instagram. So we're all over the place on social media networks, as long as the Lord permits us to do that. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.